in brightest day,
in blackest night.
I'm the best there is at what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And I am Shecky Feldstein, filling in again for Walter. I will be your co-host, and I am also producing this lovely show.
And as usual, to my right, we have young buck Andrew Roebuck helping to produce the show. And as always, we are your Halloween consultants, helping you figure out which costume you want to wear in those dimly lit corners of your bedroom. All right.
But we're not going to take it any further than the bedroom. Like that's as far as we get.
Yeah, that's. You know what? Sometimes that's as far as all you need to go when you're wearing some of those costumes.
No, but are you alone in your bedroom?
I don't think that's a very. I think it's a little bit too personal. Are you asking me or just in general?
Well, when you dress up, I know you're alone in your bedroom. But that's beyond the point.
Well, you know, that's not always true. I mean, you know, I sometimes, you know, once a year I get to go out and enjoy Halloween and be amongst the regulars, the norms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, try and fit in.
That's right. Young Shecky, how are you? How are things going? We should really just quickly talk about your wonderful show that's going on in Toronto, Night of the Living Dead Live. You're producing that. How is everything going with that? I'm shocked that you even have the time to help us out and be here
yes,
today.
Yes, I know. We are currently just starting off our third and final week. We can't extend. This was a very limited engagement. The theater already booked in their actual Halloween, whatever the show is for next week. And everything. Today actually started off really well. The reason I have sort of time and everything is right now we're kind of running through some school time matinee shows everything. So we're actually getting a whole bunch of different, you know, there are some grade 8, as young as grade 8 students, and then a whole bunch of different high school students, grade 9 through 12, coming out, class sizes anywhere between, you know, 15 kids to 30-something kids. And everyone's having a ball.
Like, that's awesome.
This appeals to the children, which is what Halloween's all about, which is why we brought it to Toronto for the Halloween season. And so it's turning out really well.
It's appealing, is it?
It is.
You know, when you dress up like a zombie, I find you appealing. I got a million of them.
Oh, I'm in stitches right now.
No, seriously, it is awesome that now you were telling me before the show that you had like 120 people show up to your student matinee.
Up to 130, 120 something. Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
And then Thursday will be a packed house with students, about 180.
Wow, really? I didn't even think that place fit 180 people.
Well, the kids are small, so we double seat them.
Yeah,
we double seat them.
Cram them in there.
Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
It's like a clown car.
Well, you know what's not so funny?
Uh-oh.
Is not us, because we're hilarious.
Andrew Buck on the engineering controls, make that sound funnier. Whatever you can do with the knobs, make that better.
Why, all of a sudden, the people seem to be drinking a lot more around me. Listen, all right, let's continue on. We are here to talk about comic books, of course. This is
we eventually do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. We should get on with that. We are here to champion the local comic book shop, and of course... We're here to talk about local comics, comic book shops, and of course, new comics. Let's start with
Chris, read a book already.
Let's start with Batman: The Dark Knight, number 24. Now, this is by Greg Hurwitz and Alex Maleev. I love this book. It's the New 52. I have to say, is doing some things right, and this is like an origin story for the character of Clayface. Now, you're in the theatrical world. Clayface is
something like that.
Clayface is an actor, as a down and out actor who, unfortunately,
he's a thespian.
Yeah, he got in with a bad crowd with the Penguin. And this is sort of his origin story in this one, of how he becomes Clayface and how he becomes a great actor. And I love this book. I think it's a great looking book. Clayface has always been a great character, in my opinion. There's actually been a number of different Clayfaces in the old DC universe. The new DC universe, of course, is only the one, but they've made him out to be this kind of character actor. He's like he's an actor, and he uses his clay formation to be able to, you know, create a persona and anything that he wants to do. And they did a really good job on this book.
Mm-hmm. And you can find that at your local comic book store today.
All right. Next up. Now, keeping with the Halloween theme, I had to go with Daredevil, The Man Without Fear, number 32. This is, of course, part of the Marvel Now series. Daredevil is one of those long-standing characters. He's always had a number of strange supporting cast members. Like he would fight guys like the Stilt Man, like strange.
What's his superpower?
Big stilts. Like he walks on big
That's a
stilts.
Power?
Yes.
I guess it's a little bit of skill.
Well, in this one, there's actually a number of, this is what I love about Mark Waid's writing. So Mark Waid and Chris Samnee are the storytellers on this one. So Chris Samnee is doing the art and Mark Waid's doing the writing. I got to say, the number of supporting cast characters in this book is awesome. I don't want to give too much of away, but the Jester is in it, as well as, right on the cover, you're going to see it's a number of the old Marvel horror characters, like Frankenstein's in it, the Living Mummy, Werewolf by Night's in it. There's tons of different Halloween horror type characters.
And you know how Shecky likes getting his pick of the weekend.
Yes.
And Shecky was considering this book, and because if Shecky picks a book, it's for nothing more than the aesthetics of the cover alone.
Yeah.
So was about to pick this book. You're Shecky.
It is a great, something just fell over in the background there. It is a great, great book, looking book. The cover is awesome. It's got this, old horror Hammer movie type feel to it, with all kinds of pitchforks and zombie type characters and horror characters. It's a great looking book, I gotta say.
It is. Yeah. You know what? I love the cover, and for that alone, you should pick it up off of the shelves of your local comic book shop today.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move to... now, we had a DC, we had a Marvel. I do want to talk about Image here for a second. Image is, Ed Brubaker, of course, and Steve Epting, they're famous for doing their run on Captain America. However, long before he was doing Captain America, Ed Brubaker was doing books sort of independently and for Image, like he was doing, Scene of the Crime and Sleeper and Criminal and Incognito and Fatale and that kind of thing. So all these kind of like crime noir type books. And he's now continued his streak on doing these crime noir books with a book called Velvet.
Mm.
And this has sort of a female spy type character, and it's a great looking book. Steve Epting is an awesome artist. I mean, even just by the cover alone, it looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Young Buck, I think, is nodding in approval.
Oh, have you had a chance to read that yet, or no? No, he just...
No, he hasn't, but I think he's intrigued.
He's intrigued by it, all right.
Yes, this, among others, comic book shops today.
Now, young Shecky Feldstein, you are too young to remember books like Marvel loves to put out funny versions of their books.
Are you age discriminating against me right now?
Yes, I am, because... back years ago, they would put out Not Brand Eck, where it was kind of like a parody of all their Marvel characters. And then in the 80s and 90s, they put out What If was sort of like a...
What if Andrew Robuck stole a microphone?
What If was sort of, real character. Like, they're just sort of changed the characters around, whereas What The was actually a takeoff on What If, and it was sort of like a comedy version of What If. So What If was like, what if the Punisher's family hadn't been killed by the Mafia kind of thing, right? Whereas What The was completely all cartoony and fun, and they've really... they've come out with another one now, and this one's called Marvel Now What? So, of course, it's still using the same What line in it, so it's got What The...
Chris, I can't understand a single thing. They all cross so many streams. How do you differentiate,
Chris? So basically, this is a comedy comedy book, a parody book, where Marvel is parodying themselves. They've got Scotty Young is doing the covers, which he's been doing a lot of. He does this kind of funny kid-type cover, whereas, it's, for a lot of the mainstream comics today, for all their variants. And this is great because basically they're just Marvel's just parodying themselves, and it gives Marvel a chance to not take themselves too seriously.
Right. It does actually almost look like a pick of the week for you right now. Like,
yeah.
With the cover of the book alone. But I like the fact that it's really just taking itself lightly, and it's not
actually a
children's book.
Yeah.
But, do you think this is something that DC might need? Why does DC have a book?
I think
so.
You know what? And this is the thing that I think is missing from comics these days, is I think all too often they take themselves way too seriously, and I think Marvel is kind of keying back into that idea that comics need to be fun again. Yeah, they are a literary form, but you know what? There's also got all kinds of – although there's lots of different literary forms and literary great works of art in literature out there. There's also Harlequin romances, right? There's also fun stuff, and I think Marvel has keyed in the fact, like, hey, this is comic books. Let's be fun again, whereas DC has not done that in a long, long time. It seems like all their books are very serious, and that comes out even in their movies, don't you think?
I completely agree. The only book in DC's that's even slightly comedic is The Flash Run, and Francis Manapul isn't even going to be on that for much longer.
Right. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. And Marvel and Stan Lee, they run the fun factory over
there. Yeah, they really do. They really do.
Crazed Stan Lee.
Yeah.
As long as there's a breath left in him, it'll be fun.
Totally. I completely agree. And that is, of course, available at your local comic book retailer.
Is it, Chris?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it is. All right. And finally, we've got Beware the Batman, number one from DC Comics. Now, Beware the Batman is one of the... It's a cartoon on TV right now, and so basically they're doing a comic book form of the cartoon series, and it's just again another incarnation of Batman. But I think it's great that they continue to put out comics about Batman and about their popular characters for kids. And there you go. Now, Shecky, you usually like to pick one book for yourself for the week.
Well, that's all you let me pick. You hardly even let me pick one.
I know. I'm not a very nice person.
No, but we won't mention that on air. So, Shecky's pick of the week, we're going to look at the New 52's Catwoman 24.
All right.
Because, like I said, if nothing else, for the cover, it's time for the Joker's daughter?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I didn't know the Joker.
Is this a thing?
Yeah, kind of.
Does he have siblings? Like, he has children?
Kind of.
It's basically, in the New 52, the Joker lost his face, and in the last big kerfuffle in the DC universe with Joker.
Like he lost face with all the other hoodlums?
No, someone literally took his face off.
Oh, okay.
And this girl just found it and decided to become the Joker's daughter. That's the summary.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, all of a sudden he's got a daughter trying to claim, and then you got Harley Quinn. They're both fighting for the Empire, maybe. I don't know.
Women.
Well, what I was going to say was DC, another one of these things, right? Because you know how it was just coming off of the evil, what was it?
Villains Month. And
the Villains Month and everything. And so this was kind of maybe like a sleeper cell that stretched in a month later or something. So it was just a thought that percolated in my head, and I just thought it was kind of redundant,
right.
Especially after the hype of that Harley Quinn drawing escapade thing.
Right.
It's all about... DC is targeting all about their young female characters and the sex appeal and the,
as I said, they're going for a more serious tone. They're more going for more sexiness. They're not they're really trying to play up in the more adult versions of comic book readers and comic books in general.
I suppose. What's the world coming to, Chris?
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Well, listen.
Either way, those amongst thousands.
Thousands.
11 billion more.
Yes.
Comic books at your local comic book shop shelves today.
All right. Well, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude. Did you ever see The Hobbit?
No, I actually didn't. I did
really?
Not catch that yet.
Oh.
No.
Well,
I'm doing my show, Chris. I'm a hard-working individual.
Sorry, I forgot. Well, you know what? Here's a theme song from the original Hobbit cartoon.
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. greatest adventure is there if you're bold. Let go of the mold that life makes you whole. Measure the meaning can make you delay. It's time you stop thinking and wasting the day. The man who's a dreamer and never takes leave, who thinks of a world that is just make-believe, will never know passion, will never know pain. Who sits by the window will one day see rain. The greatest adventure is one.
Oh, Chris, you know what? You know what it just makes me want to do?
What's that?
Tell you about my greatest adventure.
I think,
you know what? But he's such a professional.
He really is, isn't he?
You know what? Have you even played that song before?
I've never played that song on
but
there.
But it's already resonating in my head. Well, like I've got deja vu, and that's now how I'm going to hear to me.
Well, if you've ever seen the original Hobbit cartoon, that's where it was from. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I could have sworn I've heard that song before. Now I've got permanent deja vu.
Well, you know, you never know. All right. Yeah. Hey, whoa, hold on a second here. Somebody
hold
has
the
just
phone.
Entered the room. Oh, my goodness. Hey. Walter Duralia, my usual co-host, has finally decided to come in here and
I swear I wasn't filling in for you.
No, listen, sorry I'm late. I had an orthodontist appointment.
you have something in your mouth again?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I apologize, boys. Apologize I'm late. Yeah. Did I miss anything?
Well, you missed the intro. We went through the comics.
I didn't miss much today.
Well, you know.
We had some witty banter going on.
A little bit of witty banter.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt or anything like that.
No.
Continue.
We will.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
All right. Listen, we do have mailbag coming up, don't we?
Absolutely. We've got mailbag fast approaching, which is brought to you by the Toronto Zombie Walk, the biggest zombie walk in all of North America, and here to give crazy people a day to fit in.
Oh, that's good. Would you ever do something like the Zombie Walk?
I was there last year, actually. Night of the Living Dead Live was the headlining group for last year's.
But were you dressed up as a zombie?
Heck no. I was behind a table, people watching all day long. But you know what? The people who actually go to this thing, they are the diehard fans.
You know,
at Fan Expo, you're sheltered. You're inside.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie Walk, this is the last Saturday of every October, so right before Halloween.
Cold.
It is cold. It's bitter. It's usually kind of off and on rain, you know.
Yeah.
And they persevere.
Yeah, they get out there, right? They got stuff hanging off them.
Yeah, and they've probably got soda pop flasks in their pockets.
Yeah.
But whatever it takes, they're there.
So
man.
I got a question. So you've seen the Zombie Walk before?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I got a question. You know how like. It seems like, you know, we've talked about this before on previous episodes. We've been doing this show for 5 years now. It seems as though Halloween is a time where women primarily use it as a chance. Well, not as a chance, but they dress up
to
as...
To find guys,
but they also
reveal.
Reveal clothing.
Let's say reveal
skin.
Or to dress up, but without making it look like they're really buying a new dress
and dressing
up. They don't
just dress up as a nurse. Yeah. They dress up as sexy nurse. They don't just dress up as stewardess.
Like zombie nurse. So really, it's half the clothing... And a little bit of white makeup or fake blood on them.
Well, that's my question. Are there sexy zombies?
Oh, Chris, of course there are. Where have you been living?
Think?
Yeah. I'm just asking. You know.
Married life has tamed you, my friend.
Indeed.
All right, listen.
Are you asking me to hook you up with a
sexy zombie?
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know what? If you go to the Toronto Zombie Walk this Saturday, last year it was over 10,000 people strong.
Yeah.
I can't see this year being any less. And I will give a shout out, even though I'm Night of the Living Dead Live producing, Evil Dead the Musical, which has returned to Toronto, is opening this Thursday. And Saturday they are creating some sort of monstrous float of some sort.
Monstrous.
Like they are the headlining
for the Santa Claus parade.
No, for the Toronto Zombie Walk. Anyway, they are going to be there, and I believe they're going to take the Toronto Zombie Walk to the next level. It's apparently going to be fantastic. We're kind of co-working with the Evil Dead guys, but we don't know what they're developing for it. But either way, it's going to be a massive event.
Right.
And it's fun and it's free, so go on out.
You know what's coming though, right, Chris? A zombie Christmas.
Oh, a very zombie Christmas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After school special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who starts singing all the Burl Ives songs? That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Yeah.
Silver and gold, silver and gold. All right, listen. We almost forgot. We actually have to talk about mailbag.
I think that there's a thing to do right now, and it's mailbag. Yeah.
All right, now.
Golden ring.
That's my favorite, Walt.
Yeah.
That is a tradition. So, people out there, that is the traditional Bigby Comics Christmas song.
Yeah.
If you should ever want to feel like you fit in to the Bigby Comics crew, just put on Burl Ives' 12 Days of Christmas.
You'll be listening to it for about a half an hour. But
I know.
It's in a loop.
Yeah. All right, listen. All right. Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Guess who wrote in to us again?
Jim.
No.
Stan.
No.
Okay.
John Bitterman.
John Bitterman
wrote in to us again. Apparently, he says that we misquoted him last week.
That's impossible.
I know.
That's impossible.
You made that up totally.
Yeah, I know. I just write things. What are you talking about?
Professionals like us.
John. Yeah.
All right, listen. So John Bitterman has written back to us saying, "You dummies have a knack for putting words in people's mouths, much like Walter has a knack for putting foreign objects in his mouth." Well, that's where you were tonight.
Yeah, I was. And it wasn't foreign. I believe it was homegrown.
Made in Canada.
That's good. Then he says, secondly, the Bitterman Society is open to receiving new applicants. I guess because last year we didn't think there was we thought it was a one-man society.
We thought it was a closed society.
Yeah. He says the screening process is rigorous. You really got to be willing to demonstrate your bitterness and jadedness, especially towards poorly made radio shows with mediocre talent and snooty, substandard, portentous, that's right, I said it, hosts who just love to hear themselves prattle on endlessly.
You know, above and beyond the fact that he may be onto something, I resent that kind of talk.
You know, first of all, I don't even know if portentous the right use of that word.
I'm not sure what pretentious means.
Well, I think he meant pretentious.
Right.
But you know what? Just for the sake of argument, he's bitter. So you know,
he
was clouded, jaded. So you know what? I decided to look up the word portentous.
Right.
Definition. So it's an adjective. Giving a sign or warning that something usually bad or unpleasant is about to happen.
Do we give a sign? I guess once that music plays, you pretty well know
that sometimes
bad
can be. Yeah,
once you get the intro music, you know the next hour is a lot of bad things.
Drudgery. Yeah. Can't say the word drudgery.
Of or relating to or constituting a portent, suspense, portentous, foreshadowing. So are we foreshadowing anything?
We're
for a terrible show?
I don't think we're ever really foreshadowing a terrible show. I think we have a terrible show, but... You know.
Yeah.
Mailbag. How about that?
Okay. Yeah. Listen, you know what? Here's the thing.
Well, hold on. There's more.
All right.
Eliciting amazement or wonder. We tend to do that, I think.
We do that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So he might be onto something here. Yeah.
Some people wonder how this show's still on the air. Yeah.
Being a grave or serious matter. Here we go. Hold on. It says here, self-consciously solemn or important. So, trying to seem important. So,
wow, Chris. I mean, listen, I've always had that issue with you. Right? But, the product we deliver
yes.
to the masses is indeed important.
Absolutely.
And for a bitter man to belittle the quality work that we do and the important work that we do.
Now, that's right.
The stuff we deliver on air, the information, the ambiance, we're not just news deliverers.
No.
We're pep rally guys.
We really are.
We're pep talkers. We're life coaches.
You know, and it's a shame that he doesn't see this.
No. Yeah. But I think he does see it, but he doesn't understand the importance of it. See, he misunderstands what we do as something self-serving.
Right.
That's the farthest thing. But, profit. In this radio show, it's the farthest thing from your and mine's mind. I mean, especially after those 78 reject letters we got from Spawn. after a while, we realized, okay, Chris, there's no money in this.
I'm pretty sure we haven't made a single dime from
this.
Yeah, you guys make me even pay for my own gas to get here.
Well, exactly.
Of course we do.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're producing, so you have to come up with it.
But, I think he seems to think that we are snotty.
Oh,
snooty,
we couldn't be farther from it.
Well,
Bitterman, see, what happens when you're bitter?
You, when you're a bitter man.
Yeah, you see things through a lemony haze.
Lemony haze.
Like it smells fresh.
And things can often be misconstrued.
That is
but
very true.
We will tell, what's his name?
John Bitterman.
John Bitterman.
Yeah.
We will tell John
yeah.
that, you know, our intentions are pure.
Wait, should we have him on the show one of these days?
We have to.
I think we have to have
I think we have to have an airing out.
An airing of the grievances.
An airing of the grievances.
Yeah, we have right. to have an, one of these days, maybe in the next couple of years, we'll have him on the show.
the only advice I can give to John is, John, if you have a bushel of lemons, try to sell them.
Try to sell them. Do something with them.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of your lemony haze.
Right. Yeah.
Wasn't that a Jimi Hendrix song?
Yeah, I think it was.
Is that what his question was? Was there even a question in here, or did he just want to rant and complain?
Yeah, he wanted airtime.
People like John Bitterman, they just like to rant on and on.
Yeah, listen, speaking of bitter, I'm getting a bit bitter.
All right.
Listen,
we have industry news next.
Oh, okay, good.
All right. So,
thanks, Jim, for that email.
Do we have, thanks, Jim. Or John.
Now we're going to hear it.
All right. Listen,
hold on. Walt's here now. He's here.
Well, do you have an industry news? We're going to talk about industry news.
Yeah. I'm just a fill-in. I'm just here. He's just
helping out.
I'm just helping out.
So he's kiboshing on my audition is what he's doing here.
No, you're auditioning?
Well, every time he's not here, I'm auditioning, Chris. Come on
right.
now. Okay. We're good.
All right.
Well, yeah. We're good to roll. And now industry news, so that I may finish my audition here, is brought to you by, shameless plug, Night of the Living Dead Live.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
But not really. Featuring hilarious House of Frightenstein's own Mitch Markowitz. I believe he was the hippie. Something
Wasn't
hippie.
The producer?
Yes. He was one of the original producers. And
he was one of the hippies.
Something hippie. And he's actually featured in the special guest role this Thursday at the show of Night of the Living Dead Live.
Well, he wasn't like Griselda, was he?
No, Billy Van was all those
right,
guys.
Right, okay.
Billy Van was all those.
Well, you know, okay, so...
Super hippie.
Oh, super hippie.
Yeah.
So so that was obviously filmed in Hamilton.
Yes, it was.
That was a CH production.
But you know what? That has a huge following.
It does.
Let's not forget that... Like Wolfman Jack was on it.
I am the Wolfman. Mm-hmm.
And Vincent Price was on it.
Who lived in Hamilton for a while. I think I could be very wrong on this. He owned a home.
But I'm pretty sure he owned a home in Dundas.
I'm pretty sure he owned a home in Dundas.
It's haunted.
Wouldn't that be great to live in Vincent Price's house? That'd be fantastic. So great. You know, and they actually have, every once in a while, they'll have hilarious House of Frightenstein conventions because of the sheer number of people.
Mitch was at the Fan Expo. That's where we hooked up with him, and we secured him for the part.
That's actually
in August. And he said he was a fan. He's already heard about us.
Can you get I think we need to get Igor's autograph.
Mm-hmm. Is he still around, Igor?
Is he still around? Do you know? Can you find out for us?
The big boy?
Let me do some digging for you, fellas.
Digging. All right, listen. Mm-hmm. We have to get on with...
My favorite part of Larry's House Frightenstein was when the Wolfman would come and spin a tune, and they would have that background with that psychedelic stuff,
and they'd come on.
And being a Canadian show, they'd always have some sort of Canadian rock band,
like Three Dog Night
or something like that. Rush. It was before Rush.
Was it before Rush?
Yeah,
I guess
it was the late 60s.
No,
the early 70s.
Was it?
No.
Okay.
No. Anyway, great show.
Great show, yes.
And Marty, good score.
Mitch Markowitz, special guest role. We're excited. You know, one of our actors actually wants to refuse acting in it so we can watch Mitch in the role.
Oh, really?
Because he's that big of a fan.
Oh,
so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to probably ask me to take pictures of him or something.
I think he should.
Yeah. Nah,
no. Nice. You do something.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, that's enough of a plug for Marty's
play. I know,
play.
It really is.
All right, let's move this up.
Hey, guys, I got this great show we should talk about a little bit.
We actually talked about it at the beginning of the show. If you were here on time, you would have seen this.
You know what? Like I said, I had something in my mouth.
I know. Yeah. Okay, listen. Let's move on to industry news. Do you have any, Shecky, do you have anything for industry? Oh, we just did that. Sorry.
No, I can read my own shameless plug again if we didn't hear it the first time.
It took so long. I forgot what we were doing there. All right, listen.
Yeah.
Now, Transformers.
Transformers.
Big show. Huge toy line. Well, there were Transformers shoes.
Just continue. Dear God, continue.
Celebrity Transformers are coming out now. So Hasbro and Linkin Park have teamed up to produce a special edition figure of the Transformers character Soundwave. The Linkin Park Soundwave.
Linkin Park.
And Linkin Park.
$1.99 a pound.
Yeah. And let's begin with, you know, with a little pretense here. Okay, yeah, compose yourself, Chris. Linkin Park has been working hand in hand on all the big Transformers movies. They've provided at least a song, like the keynote song for all the soundtrack of the film, the three films that have come out so far. So they are, and I think they were fans of Transformers as well, like before the films came out, and I think that's why they just made their services available, and they probably got paid pretty, you know, handily. But they are the official Transformers band.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
So
I made my mistake when you started talking. I thought it was those cartoon guys with the big heads. That's what I thought you were talking about.
South Park.
South Park.
South Park.
Totally went off.
Yeah, Chris, not Chris. Park, I don't, South listen. Park.
Chris, just
God
keep going.
Forbid,
oh. Keep
God
going.
God forbid I ruin this bit because it's going so well to begin with. All right?
You know, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Yeah. Forget it. You know what? Just forget
it. Well, don't you have a mouth appointment?
Yeah. All right. You know what? Forget it. All I'm going to say is that if there's Linkin Park, not South Park, is going to be teaming up with Hasbro to create new Soundwave figures. And if you want them, you have to get them online, or you could buy
or
them
at MacArthur Park. Or MacArthur Park.
Hey, we still have songs left.
I may have to play MacArthur Park now.
Then he may, and he may have to leave. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen. Right. Okay.
I like the oil here, Checky. I'm just oiling this well lubed machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel it. Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. All right. Where were we?
Okay.
All right.
I don't even know where to begin. This is okay. Iron Man. Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Did you see Iron Man 3, Walt?
3?
Yes.
Which one was that?
The third one.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Listen.
Ben Kingsley in it.
Right. Okay, that one.
Playing the man.
Oh, that one. No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, jeez. So Ben Kingsley, Sir Ben Kingsley, has been reportedly working on a Marvel secret project, and nobody knows what it is exactly yet. There's speculation of whether or not he's going to be returning as the Mandarin. Mm. Will he be playing some new role? Mm. Will it be at the end of a new movie? Like, will it be one of those little tidbits that they kind of give, those sneak peek things at the end of a movie? Will it be? Because they've been doing now, Marvel has been putting in little mini movies and some of their DVDs. So maybe there's going to be a mini movie.
Mini movie.
There's all kinds of things that people are speculating, but Ben Kingsley is going to be back in the Marvel spotlight.
Right. That is cool. Yes. Ben Kingsley is, of course,
Gandhi.
Gandhi.
Yes.
Right.
And remember, the guy that played Gandhi, mm-hmm. the guy that played...
Oh, and he played the Mandarin.
He played the Mandarin.
In Iron Man 3.
Yes.
I'm piecing it all together now.
You know, you got to stop putting so many fingers in your mouth.
No, listen. Listen. I'm to the studio audience and the audience listening on the radio, we go over the show at the beginning of the show usually.
And you're right, we do.
I was running a little late today, so I'm a little bit behind the curve.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so I apologize.
Listen, all right, let's, you know what, forget about...
One didn't work either. All right, 0-2. Swing and a miss.
Forget about Transformers, forget about Iron Man, talk about Disney.
Yeah, because that's safe.
Disney has, a few years ago, Disney put out that little movie called Pirates of the Caribbean.
A tiny little movie.
Little movie. And from that movie, they decided that, because that was based on a ride at Disney, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So from that, they decided, let's put out more movies
based
on rides.
Smart.
They put out Haunted Mansion. Eddie Murphy, yeah. Completely.
Best part of that movie was the Ghost Barbershop Quartet. Talented group of individuals
acapella,
right there.
Good ghosts.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen, so unfortunately, Disney's they've not always been putting out great things. And I hate to say it, Disney now has, of course, they own Marvel. And so I think now because they own Marvel, they think they can put out comic books about whatever they want.
Right.
Because now all of a sudden, Disney is putting out a graphic novel trilogy about Space Mountain. Space Mountain is a roller coaster ride in Disney World.
Yeah.
And now they've decided that they're going to put out a graphic novel, not one, but three of them, about the ride.
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure if this is a good idea.
Here's the thing. Something that they didn't think was going to work worked. So they're going, man, I didn't think that was going to work, but it worked.
What, with Pirates of the Caribbean?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
So, okay, they had the second one. That didn't work.
No.
But then they're just throwing stuff against the wall. That's what they do.
Right? That is true.
They're throwing stuff against the wall. So they're throwing this against the wall.
Yep.
See, what they did wrong with, what's that one with Eddie Murphy called again?
Haunted Mansion.
Haunted House Mansion.
Haunted Mansion. Yep.
What they did wrong there is they went right to movie.
Right.
If they'd adopted it to a graphic
novel. And actually, there was a Haunted Mansion graphic novel a little while
ago. So I'm totally wrong.
No, I think it did fairly. I think it did okay, but not great.
Right.
You know?
So the graphic novel is like the storyboard, and then they do the movie.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
With the graphic novel of the Haunted Mansion, I actually see that as being a more viable graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
With the Space Mountain graphic novel, it's a roller coaster.
Right.
Right? So there's
What's it about? It's about people going on the roller coaster.
Who knows? Who knows?
Pooping their pants.
Probably.
Right.
But, well, I think it's going to be a space adventure type thing, right?
Right.
But I think with Haunted Mansion, I don't know if you've been to Disney World, right? And you've been on the Haunted Mansion ride.
No. No.
Oh, okay. Well, they're in the ride, there's all kinds of, you know, it's like an animatronic thing, and you go through it, and there's like you're in a little cart. There's all different types of characters that you see throughout the Haunted Mansion. So I get a Haunted Mansion comic about that.
Right.
Because there are all kinds of characters. There's scenes, like there's a ballroom scene, and there's like a graveyard scene. There's all kinds of different things.
There's a ball bus scene.
There's a ball bus scene. There's all kinds of things that you could see. A comic book coming from, or from a Haunted Mansion type ride.
Right.
Space Mountain, it's a roller coaster. I don't get it. Right? You could might as well call it Journey into Space or something like that.
You're going to create so much story that never existed in the first place that you're creating something just to steal the name from
the
ride.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
So it's not going to work, is what you're saying.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work or not.
Sell your Disney stock. Chris Owen has spoken. Booyah!
Quadruple booyah.
Quadruple booyah.
What was that guy's name?
I don't know. Crazy Larry. Sold me sandwiches at lunch. Right. I don't know.
You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here. You mentioned MacArthur Park earlier, so here you go.
Oh yeah.
Spring was never waiting for us, girl. Ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance. Between the parted pages and repressed in love's hot fevered iron, like a striped pair of pants. This park is melting in the dark, all the sweet green icing flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, 'cause it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again.
God, Chris, that was the icing.
That was. That was melting in the rain.
Of course, that was Richard Harris.
Richard Harris. That's right. MacArthur Park.
Beautiful. Well done.
You know, I remember seeing people sing that song, and I thought it was like a parody type song. I didn't realize it was an actual song.
Right.
I didn't realize it was an actual thing, right?
Well, who did it? Wasn't there a disco somebody that did it? Donna Summer or somebody?
Weird Al did a parody about Jurassic Park.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that was a disco version of it somewhere. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Listen, let's keep on going here. We are going to continue on with industry news. Shecky, what do you got?
Running into industry news part two, which is brought to you by Marvel's Gandhi part two, The Search for Food.
I don't know if that was offside or not, Mariam.
I think it's going with the Ben Kingsley thing, you know.
All right. I'll let it go.
Yeah.
This time.
Well, it's Disney's take. It's not me. It's not,
right. Okay.
It's not my idea.
Blame Disney.
Blame Disney for the
bad jokes.
Yeah. Whenever you have an offside joke, blame Disney.
All right. Listen. Speaking of more movies.
Oh, must we?
Well, one more movie. All right.
Because the other ones have been going so well.
Actually, no, we got two more movies. Very briefly. We used to have Trailer Trash or whatever it was we used to have. Remember back in the day, we used to actually have that bit?
Yeah.
And I went, that's gone by the wayside.
Hate mail does that to bits.
Well, Marvel has announced a new Captain America trailer with teaser poster. The trailer is coming out, I think, tomorrow. I'm not too sure. It could be it's like the next 1 or 2 days. And of course, the poster is here, and we have a picture of Captain America.
Well, look at that, everybody!
Yeah,
show it to them.
Let me show the audience.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so I'm glad you printed that out in full color, 8.5 by 11.
Everyone, look at it,
so the audience can see.
So you can.
I wanted you to see it.
All right, okay, because I really need to see it.
It's not my fault that you printed it in color and wasted all your ink.
All right,
listen, so that is coming out April 4th, 2014, Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Is that the May the 4th be with you day, April 4th?
Let me ask you, so does May the 4th and April 4th, is that the same day?
No.
So would that be the same? So would Captain America the Winter Soldier be coming on May the 4th then?
I guess not, no. Huh. Sorry, I asked.
Look at that, we answer our own questions around here, huh?
Wow. I'm just asking. Wow. You know?
Okay. All right.
Listen. All right. Okay. More movie news. Beetlejuice 2 is possibly coming to a big screen near you. Mm. Have you ever seen Beetlejuice was originally with Michael Keaton and
Alec Baldwin, Winona Ryder, Gina Davis.
That guy who became a pedophile. Yeah,
I'm sorry, who?
It's true.
Pee-wee
it's true.
Herman?
No. There's that the guy the Ferris Bueller's Day Off principal.
Really?
Yeah, he was convicted as a
who was he in Beetlejuice?
He was like the father, wasn't he?
Wasn't he
the father guy? Or maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
No. He was, oh, no, I know. Yeah, he was the father.
I think so.
Yeah,
he was
Winona Ryder's father, who was all like about the money and how to market like ghosts. He's a pedophile?
I think he was convicted, Well, at least he was charged anyways. I don't know if he was convicted, but he was charged.
Really?
Yeah.
And then, as charged.
Was it Catherine O'Hara was the mom?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think
there's
you're right.
A lot of huge stars,
big stars in
this movie.
Wow.
I haven't seen it.
That's not surprising.
Never got
at
a dinner.
Yeah, never got a dinner. It was good. It was good for its time. It had a lot of like stop motion animation in it. Right. It had a lot of crazy stuff.
It was a lot of that original Tim Burton.
It was back when Michael
stuff,
Keaton
you know?
Was funny.
Right. Was Johnny Depp in it?
No. Johnny Depp wasn't in it, nor was Johnny Depp.
Hey, Keaton's funny, all right?
I'm just saying.
Keaton's a class act.
Okay, so well, apparently he might be returning to the role with Tim Burton at the directing helm. But here's my question to you all: does anybody care? Right? It's Beetlejuice. When I go to we've all been to conventions together. I've never seen anybody dressed up as Beetlejuice.
Well,
I've never seen any kind of cult following from Beetlejuice.
You know, here's a problem, Chris. Here's a problem.
Here's the thing.
So the film was, if I'm not mistaken, an early 90 film, somewhere in there, right?
I think it was before that.
Or was it late 80s?
I think it was 80s.
Okay. So really, if you're going to make a sequel, and even if you're going to let it go beyond just the 2 years after the original film to give it like a little nostalgic feel of the sequel, you're past 10 years and you're already kind of like you're getting into new territory, right?
Yeah, this is like 20 years.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
30 maybe close
yeah, 25.
To. Yeah.
So
something
this
like
almost
that.
Needs a remake.
This exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So instead of a sequel, would you have but you know what? I guess it depends on the angle that they take in it.
Like okay, so I understand that, you know, a remake could be a sequel could be very similar to a remake if they make it that way, like to have the same similar storyline.
But, it won't be if they use all the same cast, because it's not a remake if you use all the same cast, right?
But I guess I'm thinking of, you know, like the Rocky Balboa movie, right? Or the what do you call it? The the Rambo movie. Like, it's kind of like, you know, you don't need to see the previous ones to get the, get the movie.
But let me ask you guys something. I don't know this, so I'm asking. What's the one with Bill Murray and
Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Name one actor, and we know the title already.
Well, no, they had the couple. They had the hit, and then they had the sequel right after. Yep. But then they made one recently.
No, they're coming out with one.
No.
Oh, are they coming out with one?
Well,
okay.
I don't know if they are for sure.
Is that along the same lines, though? It's like, you know.
Does anybody care?
Yeah.
And
this is,
you know,
my
what?
Point.
Ghostbusters, there are tons of people that care.
And this is my
if
point.
If that comes
whole,
out.
There's a whole. You know,
there's a society.
Guys, what are those guys with the white helmets at the cons called? The Star Wars
501st?
Guys. Yeah, 501st.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's almost that group.
Ontario same Ghostbusters. Idea, yeah. There's an Ontario Ghostbusters Club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is my point. So, you know, we go to conventions because really this is where you're going to see this stuff. Is that comic book conventions? You go to conventions and you see the DeLorean. You see, you know, people who are all about Back to the Future. You see people who are all about the Ghostbusters. You see Doctor Who. I don't see anybody caring one iota about Beetlejuice. Now, having said that, there's all kinds of people who are interested in Tim Burton stuff and Nightmare Before Christmas and all that stuff.
If you think of Tim Burton and you think, you know, hey, Tim Burton fan, you know, of all films, top three Tim Burton, you're probably going to go with Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Probably Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
And the third, it's probably going to be Beetlejuice.
Right. Right.
I'm thinking, you know, you think his old stuff, the stuff that really hooked you, right? I mean, even if his more recent stuff is better, you always think of the stuff that hooked you in the beginning, right? And honestly, I think, you know what? There could be a resurgence. If they bring it back and they do it well enough, people could actually really respond well.
Well, you know, I think we'll see how it goes. I still say I don't know if anybody really cares. That's my problem with it. It's a movie that came out a long time ago, and I don't know if it's got legs.
You know what? Alice in Wonderland came out a long time ago, in every form.
But they redo it. They don't have sequels to it, and if they do, it's they've
yeah.
Some,
but they
some
redid it with Tim Burton, and you know he put his new spin. But people like Tim Burton and his new approach at something,
right?
I think they'll do that again with this if they add new technology to it.
But maybe they should have a reinventing of the character rather than a number two. That's all I'm saying.
Think we're at odds here, Chris.
All right, why don't we leave it at that?
All right, let's leave it at that. Okay, so here's something interesting. So a few days ago, they had Wonder Woman Day in Texas. You're a Wonder Woman. Okay, so Heroes and Fantasies, which is the largest comic book store in Texas, hosted their Women of Wonder Day. And,
indeed, they
and
did.
They auctioned off original comic book artwork, and they sold stuff, and they raised money for domestic violence and charities and all kinds of things. I'm wondering, when I first read this, I thought, do we really need to have something like this?
Right.
Right? Like, you know, are we giving them too much publicity, all that kind of stuff? And I thought, you know what? No,
giving
you know what?
Too much publicity.
Just the whole concept. Like, I mean, it seems like there's always charities for everything, right?
Right.
But then I realized,
the Human
you know what?
Fund.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then I realized, why not? Why not? Mm-hmm. There should be more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think there should be more awareness raised about this kind of things, domestic violence. And I think that there should be more comic book artwork auctions that are solely devoted to this kind of thing within each community around the Toronto area, the San Francisco area, whatever area you happen to be in. There should be more local charities having comic book awareness type things like that.
Here's the thing. There are a million causes.
Yes.
And what you don't want to happen is, first of all, I don't want my Wonder Woman associated solely with, you know, the battered woman cause.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want my... I don't know. Like, let's, you know, you
they stand for
it,
everything
you
good.
You can take it for every. Yeah. You can take it, like, do pigeonhole, like, what's Spider Man's name? Winfred Marsalis? What's the kid's
what?
Name there?
Winfred.
Miles Morales? Yeah.
Wasn't he like a saxophone player?
I think he was. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. All right. I forgive myself.
Okay.
But, like, you know, do take that kid and then, you know, do charities on, you know, inner city thing.
It's all right, like, right. You don't take Daredevil and just do it for the blind.
It's a good point.
Know.
It's a very good point.
Like, I don't know. You know, like, the stereotype. It's a female, so we're going to talk about issues that
around women.
Around women.
Yeah.
It's a visible minority, so we're going to talk. And maybe that's the right way to do it. Maybe that's the wrong. But I'm just saying there's a danger that we hijack our superheroes.
Absolutely.
For specific.
Yeah.
You know, they get pigeonholed. Okay, he or she is the poster child for this type of charity.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, Shecky said, I mean, then you go with Daredevil and, you know, on a blindness awareness. And we're not trying to poke fun at anything. But
right.
Where it comes a point where do you stop pigeonholing certain characters because of the way they happen to be portrayed in comic books
and to
support a particular cause?
Right. Now, taking that one step further, can you go the superhero route, the mutant route?
Right.
And use that as a blanket thing to promote tolerance for people that are different.
Right.
See, that's more of a blanket thing because we're all different from each other in certain ways.
Right.
Whereas, I don't know, maybe even that's pigeonholing. I don't know. But I'm just saying there could be a danger there where, how can I say it? Certain organizations will pick certain superheroes.
Yeah.
And I won't say hijack. I'm not going to say hijack.
No, but I understand what you're saying.
And they'll commandeer that hero because that hero fits
their particular cause.
Their particular cause in some way.
Right.
And again, the first thing was like an alarm thing went off saying, I don't know if this could be used in the wrong way or not.
No, I think you're right. And but, you know, unfortunately, I think for that particular character of Wonder Woman, it's the character that everybody knows because, I mean, it's had a TV show for three seasons and it's been around since for forever practically. And, you know, I think, like, you know, even Mac had a makeup line devoted to Wonder Woman, right? Like, so I think no matter what it is, if they want to somehow use comic books, they're going to use Wonder Woman as their spokeswoman, if that's what you want to call it.
Right.
Whereas I don't know if that would definitely not be the same with any kind of male related cause.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there runs a chance that they could be you know, overselling it with that particular character, and then it becomes, oh, well, here goes Wonder Woman again, or, you know, do you really have to use that, or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
All right.
Anyways, you know, on the whole Beetlejuice-type topic here, Chris Robertson is going to be reviving Doc Savage at Dynamite Comics.
I got to say it, Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dynamite!
Dynamite! So here's my thing. Just like Beetlejuice. Does anybody care about Doc Savage?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with Doc Savage. Doc Savage goes back to what, the 20s or 30s? Pulp character.
20s, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's 20s.
So,
late 20s.
And he's had comic books in the 40s, maybe even late 30s.
Yeah.
Come back in the 70s.
Yep.
Come back in the 90s.
Yep.
Back again. Is it... maybe we don't know all the thing. Maybe these people have to... Is it public domain?
That's a great question. I have no idea. I don't know about that.
Like, I don't know. Dynamite seems to... their bread and butter is to take...
Older characters,
Shadow. And the Shadow and Doc Savage are perfect. But you're right. Like, Doc Savage, he definitely does not touch the nerve of the reading populace.
And I don't know if you're going to be able to. I think he's, you know, they had the Lone Ranger movie come out. They've had Lone Ranger comics recently, and that seemed to do okay. There has to be, like, a really good take on Doc Savage, a really interesting,
How do you update characters like that?
The Man of Bronze. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, there were some amazing. Remember the 70s had those the Curtis magazines?
Yeah.
incredible art in the paintings. Oh, yeah. The cover paintings on those are just incredibly amazing.
Even in the 80s, they had a bunch of novels. I don't know if they're probably reprints. I don't know. But they had novels about the Man of Bronze, and they had great covers to them. And, you know, this is a character that predates Superman.
Yes.
And he was sort of like the epitome of what a man can do, much like Superman.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I mean, he caught on for a little while, like in radio shows and stuff like that, but he never caught on quite like Superman did.
Right.
And it seems like he just never seems to be able to break through and have a long-lasting resurgence.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Doc Savage and, like, who say the Phantom and, like, who's the other guy there?
The Shadow.
And,
you know, Mandrake the Magician and all those characters.
All those guys. Yeah. It's like it seems that their arch nemesis. See, this is what they should do.
Yeah.
They should have, like, an Illuminati meeting with those guys sitting around a table going, they're all bitter men, okay? They're all like bitter men.
John, listen up.
Yeah, John, listen up. So they're all sitting around the table, bitter men, and they're all pissed at Superman.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and they're all conniving and planning. Forget about Luther.
Yeah.
It should be these guys.
Yes.
Who Supes came in 38.
Yeah.
Wipe these guys from the table.
Yeah.
Get away. You're never to be back in the limelight again.
That is a great idea.
And they're all their bitter men going, that's, you know, that Kryptonian son of a, he can't, we, that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Gold, Jerry.
That'd be a great. It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
It really is.
Yeah, I love that idea. You know,
the League of Extraordinary Bittermen.
I love it. Yes. Yes.
Doc Savage, the Phantom. Who's the other one again?
Mandrake the Magician and Shadow.
Shadow.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, remember they had tried to have a Phantom movie a little while ago?
Oh, yeah, with the Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Oh, that was like 15 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah. What do you want from me?
But no, it was on TV just a few days ago. I watched it again.
And what'd you think?
Horrid. Absolutely repulsive. But it had a cute opposite female there, though. And I think Catherine Zeta-Jones was in it. That was a young Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Maybe, Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Listen, before we go, we should talk a little bit about Halloween. It's a week away.
Halloween.
Now, Walt, are you dressing up again this year?
Yeah, I'm going to give a plug, shout out. I'm going to be at the Silver Snail Halloween party on Saturday the 26th.
Okay.
Come down and say hi.
Now, if people wanted to get tickets for the Silver Snail party, I guess they go to Silver Snail and
SilverSnail.com, and there's a link to getting the tickets.
Now, the one thing I will say, I've been to that party a number of times, and the costumes there are phenomenal.
Yes.
People work all year round on those costumes.
Now, the Silver Snail, being a local comic book shop, right, does a great thing by having this annual thing, and maybe all the local comic book shops across the country can start organizing their own little Halloween festivities.
And you know what? I'm going to give a little plug here for my buddy Paulo, who owns a store in Stony Creek,
Ontario.
This Saturday night, he's having a little Halloween get together at his store.
Oh, you know what? That is great for Paulo, but bad for the Silver Snail party.
Bad for the Silver Snail party.
You know why?
Why?
Because Paulo is a bitchin' Paul Stanley.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I would look forward to seeing him there at the Snail party.
That's
but
right.
Hey,
yeah.
For everybody to enjoy at the Comic One
Comic party. One Books out in Stony Creek. So he's going to be hosting a little get-together if you want to show up. Unfortunately, I will not be able to go to either of those parties. I have prior commitments with my wife to go to a birthday party that night.
A Bitterman party.
I didn't say that.
A birthday party.
And, of course, Shecky, what are you doing for Halloween?
Ooh, we have a double header on that Saturday, the Saturday of Halloween. 5:30 and 9 o'clock shows, Night of the Living Dead Live. And after the 9 o'clock show, we actually have our official super decked out themed after party at Tattoo Rock Parlor.
Nice.
Just across the street from the theater, actually. And
Theater.
They have an interior decorator coming in and zombifying the entire place for us for our after party. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Listen, thank you for listening to our show. I mean, it looks like everybody's going to have a great Halloween. I know it's still a bit of a week away. We still have another show before Halloween, but it seems like all the parties are going on this weekend, so we needed to talk about that. Comic Culture is produced by our young Shecky Feldstein here and engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com. And
who says www anymore? Let me ask you that. Who says that anymore?
You know what? I don't know.
Keep
going. But and click on the podcast link. Of course, this is aired every week on CFMU McMaster Radio. When you go to the comic book section, comicbookdaily.com section, scroll to the comments field and add your comments. You can also hear us podcast on getthepointradio.com.
Yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of what's going on at getthepointradio.com.
I know. I'm pretty sure it's not Get the Point Radio anymore.
All right.
But one of these days, we will get around to it. Listen, go support your local comic book store. Have a great Halloween party if you choose to do so this weekend. Dress up. Have a good time. Be safe. Make sure if you drink, do not drive. Walt, looks like you have something to say.
All right, listen, go out, support your local comic book shop, most important, and come down to Night of the Living Dead Live on the 5:30 show. I'll be there. And then head over to the Snail Show, the Snail Party at 7. I'll be there.
Perfect. And if you're in Stony Creek, you can head on over to Paulo's shop. And have yourself a great weekend. Shecky, did you have anything else to say?
I bid you adieu.
All right, adieu to all of you.